The phenomenon of mercenarism is one that I think was historically more significant than it is today. There aren't that many people that are, you know, joining up with things like the French Foreign Legion and going to fight in foreign wars solely for the sake of money. But we've seen a huge growth in the private military industry. We've seen more and more that countries that are engaged in military operations, either on their own soil or more likely abroad, are using private military contractors. So while the concept of mercenary is not as important as it might have been at one time, what we've seen is a huge growth in the use of private military contracting firms. And that creates a whole new set of human rights concerns.
Let's talk about some of those human rights concerns. What specifically is the working group worried about?
With private military contractors, there's a concern that they aren't necessarily going to be either educated about, or even if they are educated about the rules of warfare, they aren't necessarily going to be in compliance with them. Now, you might say, well, you know, isn't that a concern for all fighters? Except when you have an organized armed force, they're generally going to be trained in the details of the Geneva Conventions. And more importantly, they are going to be subject to military discipline and military command. But with private military contractors, they aren't necessarily subject to military discipline and the military accountability mechanisms like courts-martial, for example. And when it comes to both accountability for violations and the ability of victims to obtain remedies, there's a very serious concern that perpetrators and victims will both fall through the cracks. We saw this in the most notorious event of the Blackwater contractors that were involved in what has come to be called a massacre in Nisour Square in the Iraq conflict. And it was a situation in which private military contractors simply opened fire in a civilian, urban populated area and murdered a number of individuals. The process of trying to find an accountability mechanism for these contractors was extremely fraught, and many of them got away with it. It took years and years for the U.S. judicial process to try to deal with this, and it showed that there were indeed many accountability gaps when it comes to the behavior of private military contractors.
The working group has organized this Thursday a series of panels looking at this issue of the privatization of war. What do you hope will be the outcome?
We hope to raise consciousness of the fact that much of the war fighting purposes and activities of states have now been turned over by states to private industry. And when you have states that are, through their armed forces, that are performing what we used to think of as the inherently governmental function of fighting a war, then you had available the mechanisms of states' accountability for when violations of the law of war occurred. But with private military contractors having an ever-increasing role in fighting wars, what we hope to do is to, A, show that this phenomenon is growing, and more importantly, to raise consciousness of the fact that mechanisms of accountability and remedy are not keeping pace with the growth of the phenomenon itself. And so if states are going to be turning over much of or more of their warring functions to private industry, which in itself is probably a bad idea, but it's happening, then at the very least, states should be also seeing to it that the mechanisms for holding violators of the laws of armed conflict, the Geneva Conventions, accountable, and for means of redress for victims of violations, it is also keeping pace with this shift over to privatization.